Now for our story. Bill Meade's attorney, Angus McKillop, a tall, lanky figure topped with a shock of unruly red hair, strode down Wakefield's main street, entered the swinging glass doors of the Wakefield Trust and Savings Bank, and went directly to Bill Meade's desk, which, bounded as it was by file cases on either side, provided considerable privacy. Now, Bill looks up from a sheaf of papers as Angus addresses him.
How did it work, lad?
Oh, hello, Mr. McKillop. Yeah, I'm fairly busy, but not too busy to stop for a minute.
Good. I'd like to talk to you for a bit, but how do I get at you? You're all barricaded in like a lion in his lair.
Oh, well, look, you just go around there to the left on the other side of that file. You see? There's an opening.
Good. Now we're both on the same side. I never like to be on opposite sides of the fence from a client of mine.
I should hope not. Here, sit down, Mr. McKillop.
I won't interrupt you for long, my boy. Just a few matters to straighten out.
Yeah, well, I'm glad you dropped in. I've been thinking about Monday.
I'll wager you have it on your mind. This is the zero hour, isn't it? Just before the battle.
Yeah. I only wish, though, it didn't have to be a battle. If we could get through without having to be nasty about it.
I'm afraid that's not possible, lad. We'll do the best we can.
Mr. McKillop, there's something I have to tell you. I hope you won't be angry.
No. What is it, lad? Speak up.
Well, you know what we talked about in your office the day Aunt Mary was there? About this Paul Cromwell thing and Kit.
What about it?
Well, I've given it a lot of thought, and I'm sorry to say I can't see myself using that sort of evidence. Maybe I'm a dope, but I hate to think it's the only way to win custody of that kid of mine. It just goes against my grain. I guess I'm old-fashioned or something.
Yes, as a matter of fact, you got nothing to worry about. It's one of the reasons I stopped in today. I knew you had this on your mind. I doubt you quite understood at the time. You see, the evidence concerning your wife's friendship with Mr. Cromwell in the past, before your divorce went through, hasn't a thing in the world to do with our case. It's not valid.
It isn't? Well, but I thought...
No. It was simply a clue. Straw in the wind, you might say. If there'd been anything to show that this man had been here in Wakefield to see your wife since the divorce, well, that'd be another story. You see, in other words, it would constitute new evidence. Now, new evidence is the only kind we can use.
Oh, I see. I didn't understand that.
And be that as it may, it's of no matter now. I've checked up very carefully. Nothing of the sort took place.
Well, then, we won't have to say anything about it in court?
Nope. You can forget the whole thing.
Oh, I'm sure glad to know it. You know, I'll feel a lot better if I do get custody of the baby, knowing that I didn't have to make a lot of nasty implications about his mother. Well, now about Monday. What are you planning?
As to that, I've got some encouraging news.
You have?
You know this nurse, governess they have taking care of your son?
Oh, Miss Thorndyke? Yeah, sure.
I had a long talk with that young woman just this morning. She's a fine, sensible person, especially considering that she's of the frailer sex.
You know, I don't entirely agree with you, Mr. McKillop. I'm inclined to think women are pretty swell people.
You'll learn. Although, if you haven't already, after getting yourself into your present pickle...
Well, maybe I'm a demon for punishment, but I still have hopes.
As to Miss Thorndyke, I believe she's going to be a great help to us as a witness.
Hey, you mean she's willing to take the stand? To testify on our side?
She's agreed to substantiate your own statement about your ex-wife saying she wished she'd never had a child.
I see. Well, that might make a big difference.
Certainly. It's a lucky thing she's so fond of the Ben. It's his welfare she's thinking of. Even though she's bound to get into trouble with Ben Calvert when he finds out she's against him.
Oh, she'll lose her job, that's for sure.
She's not worrying about that. On the other hand, the housekeeper...
Lucy?
The poor little mouse. She's afraid of her own shadow. Ben's got her right under his thumb. She fears to so much as open her mouth. Hey, I'm afraid we're going to run into some opposition in that direction. I'll have to talk to her again.
Seems to me Lucy supports an invalid sister or something. And she must be getting on towards 60. It wouldn't be easy for her to get another job here in town if Mr. Calvert fired her.
I gather that was one of her worries.
Yeah. Well, that being the case, if Lucy's out of the picture, it puts us in sort of a spot, doesn't it? I mean, wouldn't we need two people to testify?
That's right, lad. We would indeed. Miss Thorndyke's word wouldn't be enough, but don't worry about it. I believe that I can take care of the matter. I'm going to show up that Calvert household for what it is. The household, and with all due respect, your ex-wife.
Well, it's good to hear you're so confident. For a while there, the way you talked, I thought I must be crazy to go on with the case.
Hey, lad, it's true. I hated to see you knocking your head against what seemed to be a stone wall. But since I talked to Mary Lane, I've changed somewhat. I began to see the stone wall might be in my own mind.
Now, how do you mean, Mr. McKillop?
I'd fallen into a trap, thinking of the whole business from strictly a legal black-and-white standpoint, without considering the human element, the spirit of the law.
Yeah, that's what always gets me about legal stuff. So many times, they do seem to forget the spirit of it.
Well, thanks to Mary Lane, I've got my view of things straightened out again. We know your wife doesn't want that child. She said so to you and to others. I'm determined we can demonstrate that to the judge's satisfaction. Well, now I must be going along. I'll stop by for you Monday morning at 9 sharp. We'll get to Huntsville in ample time. The court opens at 10.
Yeah. Well, I'm glad to be driving over with you. We can talk over any last-minute details then, huh?
Yes. Good enough, lad. Now, get plenty of sleep so you'll have your wits about you. Now, good day.
So long, Mr. McKillop.
Well, good afternoon, Mary Lane. This is quite a gathering of the clan.
Well, hello, Angus.
Oh, Aunt Mary.
Are you leaving?
I have an appointment. Be sure and say hello to the lad there.
That's where I'm going now, Angus.
Good. He'll be glad to see you, I know.
Hello, Bill.
Hello, Aunt Mary. Oh, gosh, this is quite a day for me. First Mr. McKillop and now you.
Well, I came in to do some errands. And I didn't want to leave without talking to you for a minute or two.
Well, I'm awful glad you stopped by, Aunt Mary.
Well, Bill, you're looking fine. Better than you have for a long time.
I feel better, too. The talk I just had with Mr. McKillop is a real pickup. He's very confident now. In fact, Aunt Mary, he says it's because of you that his whole opinion about the case has changed.
He does?
Yeah.
Well, I'm glad. But all I did was try to make him think with his heart as well as his head. You know, it's my belief that people can think with their hearts.
Well, at least it doesn't hurt to let your feelings enter into your decisions about things, as well as your common sense.
That's right.
Oh, gosh, Aunt Mary, it's wonderful to know we're really going to get rolling on Monday. I've had my doubts part of the time, and sometimes I felt downright hopeless. But today, after talking to Mr. McKillop and you, well, I have a feeling we might win.
I'm glad you're feeling so hopeful, Bill.
Yeah. Of course, I've known all along that I would never feel right if I didn't do what I could to get custody of the baby. I mean, if I hadn't made any effort to, it would have been like tossing off my obligation as his father.
Mm. And being you, Bill, you never have let that happen. Just give up all thought of trying to do anything for your son. I realized from the first you'd have to face that problem. I'm very proud of the way you did face it.
Well, I'm not so sure I could have if you hadn't helped me to see it straight.
No, Bill. All I did was try to understand.
I'm very grateful to you. And you're right, too. I would have been miserable any other way. Even though there'd been plenty of times when I was pretty sure I was fighting a losing battle. But today I feel different. I'm actually anxious to get into that courtroom next Monday morning. I don't know, Aunt Mary. Maybe I'm nuts, but I honestly believe that when I walk out of that courtroom, I'll have that son of mine with me.
Yes, Bill, Angus McKillop's confidence and Aunt Mary's conviction that you're doing the right thing have given you a new optimism. Yet I wonder if you will have the baby with you when you leave the courtroom. For though you don't know it, Bill, the baby is not your son. And there is still a possibility that his true mother, Lisa Fenner, may do what Belle Shipley has insisted she must do, may claim as her own the child your ex-wife, Kip, took from her.